He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gatlin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Yeah, I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my horse through the old town road. I'm gonna ride till I can't no more.
I got the horses in the back, horse stock is attached. Head is matted black, got the bushes black to match. Riding on a horse, ha, you can whip your Porsche. I've been in the valley, you ain't been up off that porch. Now, can't nobody tell me nothing. You can't tell me nothing. Can't nobody tell me.
Welcome to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. My name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games and, of course, tonight's big NBA draft located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Their phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman sports authority. Not a ton of sports to talk about this week. But we will go over Bozeman Bucks baseball, look into preseason polls for the FCS, and we cover the secondary unit for the Bobcats. I do have a very special in-studio guest today because school is done, and that's why there's not a lot of sports. You have to drag your kids around everywhere because summer camps end at noon, and you can't drop them off at home yet. So my guest today is Taylor Laird. The girl, as you might know her, will be in the studio today helping out. She's the one that you heard talk right at the beginning saying that I'm terrible at sports, and she's very true, and that is very correct. Taylor, how are you doing today?
Good.
All right. First things first, though, we'll take a look at national news. Once again, tonight's NBA draft with Zion Williamson expected to go number one to the New Orleans Pelicans. Do you like Pelicans, Taylor? All right, there you go. John Moran expected to go second to Memphis with R.J. Barrett going third to the New York Knicks. After that, it could get really interesting. Well, not really interesting. It's a draft, so it's not that great. But there will be some big news from last weekend with the trade of Anthony Davis to the Lakers. The Pelicans end up getting Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Josh Hart, and then the fourth pick of this year's draft, plus a bunch of future picks, number one pick from next year, the year after, but you can't have 2 years in a row where you don't get a pick, so it'll be interesting to see how they end up with that and how the Pelicans end up and what their picks will be. But let's start with the trade first. A great move, I think, by both teams. In my mind, the Pelicans get some very good young players. They also get the circus that is the Ball family, so good luck with that, Pelicans. They also could easily trade that number four pick for a veteran point guard to go along with Zion, who I'm sure they'll draft first tonight, or they could just get a center in the draft to complement Zion from the jump. He does need a point guard. They've got some point guards there. Lonzo Ball's considered a point guard. He has to be. He can't shoot the ball to save his life. So I think it's a good move by the Pelicans. They're building around Zion. They're showing him, hey, you're going to be the face of our franchise, and so we're going to build around you. But that's a pretty big step for a 19-year-old kid. For the Lakers, they get rid of the toxic Lonzo Ball and his family. His jackass father's now in New Orleans instead of L.A. They also get one of the best inside players in the league in Anthony Davis. And LeBron now has someone to take some of the weight off of him so he can maybe stay healthy a little better. He had health injuries or issues last year, and I think that was mainly because everything that he had to do was up to him. None of his supporting cast could really do anything, so it was all left up to him, and I think it just wore on him. Remember, he's played for a lot of years. He might not be that old, but he's got a lot of mileage on those legs and that back, so this should help him out a bunch. Davis is a great inside player, plus he can shoot outside. The issue with that is that Davis is on a one-year contract, so he will be a free agent next year. Sure, he will probably re-sign with the Lakers, but it all depends on how LeBron does and how the two of them do together. You could see Davis go 1 year and then turn around and say, you know what, this wasn't worth it. I want to go to a team. LeBron's getting older. He's not into it as much. We don't have a supporting cast. I want to go somewhere else and just do that. So we'll have to see how that all plays out. The big story, I think, in this also is the trade happened after Magic Johnson left and threw everybody in the organization under the bus as he was walking out the door, basically kicked them all in the junk as he was walking out. And this happened afterwards. So all of this happened after he left. None of it was because of him. And so I find that satisfying as somebody that did that, walks out and just says, screw you guys, I'm going home. And Magic did that, and now the team is going to be way better now that he's gone. So that should be interesting. As for the rest of the players in the draft, there's a lot of talent, but I don't see a lot of star power that's going to be NBA all-stars in the future. There might be some great players, and there's a ton of them out there, but top to bottom, I just don't see that. Darius Garland is a great player out of Vanderbilt. He's considered the fourth best pick in the draft. The biggest fall in my mind is Cam Reddish. Cam Reddish came into Duke last year as a freshman as one of, he was either one or two behind RJ Barrett as the top player in the country coming out of high school. And by the time he was done, he might not even be a top 10 pick in this year's draft. After 1 year, he really struggled at Duke. He couldn't find his place. Zion came out of nowhere and did great. And so because of that, he really struggled. But he did declare for the draft, and we'll see how he does. Again, he's going to be making millions of dollars, so I don't feel too horribly bad for the kid. The draft, again, starts tonight at 5 o'clock Mountain Time, covered everywhere, but mainly on ESPN. Moving on to golf news, Gary Woodland wins the third major of the year, claiming the U.S. Open by 3 strokes over Brooks Koepka with a final score of minus 13. This was Woodland's first major victory. Because everyone cares so much about Tiger Woods, I'll just update you on him. He did finish tied for 21st at minus 2, and because only I care, but it's my show, about Nick Taylor finished plus 2 and a tie for 43rd, along with Ricky Fowler, also tied for 43rd, Phil Mickelson ended up finishing plus 4 and tied for around 50th. This week, the tour heads the other side of the country with the Travelers Championship in Cromwell, Connecticut, home of lacrosse everywhere. Currently, the leader, as we talk right now, let me bring it up real quick. The leader is at minus 6, and that's Ryan Armour. Bronson Burgoon is at minus 6 as well. Keegan Bradley at minus 5. Peter Malnati is at minus 4. And Cameron Tringali. Can you say that? Say Tringali.
Tringali.
Is at minus 4 as well, tied for 4th. Got to entertain him somehow, people. Moving on to shooting news. Former Boston Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot in the back by a gunman who mistook him for the real target, another man who was seated at the same table at an outside cafe, Dominican officials said Wednesday. Dominican Republic's attorney general and national police director told reporters that the attempted murder was ordered by the from the United States by Victor Hugo Gomez, an associate with the Mexico's Gulf Cartel. They said Gomez was hired a gang of killers to eliminate his cousin, whom Gomez suspected of turning him in to Dominican drug investigators in 2011. The cousin, David Fernandez, was seated with former baseball star on the night of June 9th when the gunman approached and fired a single shot at Ortiz. The official said Fernandez owned an auto repair shop and was friends with Ortiz, according to the attorneys. Ortiz remains hospitalized in Boston, where doctors have upgraded his condition from guarded to good. So there's a lot to uncover and unfold in that whole thing. I don't know if any of you have actually seen David Ortiz, but he isn't a very small man, and he doesn't look like many people. Ving Rhames, maybe the actor, is about as close as he looks like to Ortiz as you can get. So this is either way more to the story, or this is the worst gangsters in the history of ganging. It's great news for Ortiz that he's doing better, but I don't think this story is even close to being fully understood as of yet. Finally, in NFL news, the Lions can't even give players away anymore, it seems. One day after trading third-year tight end Michael Roberts to the New England Patriots for a conditioned 2020 seventh-round pick, basically giving him away, Detroit Lions announced Friday that the deal was rescinded because conditions weren't met. The Lions then waived Roberts per the club. Roberts didn't pass a physical for the Patriots. That's why he didn't get traded, sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter. So my poor Lions can't even give players away nowadays. We'll take a quick break right now. Come back with a look at some Legion baseball. Also talk a little about the Bobcats, and we'll talk about Taylor's favorite football players and teams. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. This is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Take a seat, right over there, sat on the stairs, stay or leave. The cabinets are bare, and I'm unaware of just how we got into this mess. Got so aggressive, I know we meant all good intentions. So pull me closer, why don't you pull me close? Why don't you come on over? Why don't you just meet me in the middle? I'm losing my mind just a little. So why don't you just meet me in the middle? In the middle.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on your interwebs or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill with countless TVs and specials. Catch all the big games and, of course, tonight's NBA draft located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus. Phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. Let's take a look at some summer sports from around the valley. In the first half of the Badlands Bowl, it appeared it might finally be won by North Dakota. Then Bozeman's Chris Brown took over. Brown, a Montana signee, threw for two touchdown passes in the second half and led Montana to a 41-14 win Saturday, according to the Bozeman Daily Chronicle. That was at Connor Stadium. Montana is now 20-6 in the all-time series and has won the last five editions of the All-Star Game. The first half featured as many serious injuries as touchdowns, with Joe Olson, Bozeman's running back who signed for the Cats, went down and exited the game. The trainer taped a big old bag of ice on Olson's left knee. Later in the half, an MSU commit did not return after that. Olson missed the end of his senior season after breaking his arm against Kalispell Flathead on September 28th. Montana's 41-point second half included 27 fourth-quarter points. North Dakota won 25-22 in 2014 for its most recent Badlands Bowl victory. Montana won the next four by a combined 155 points, including 63-0 win in 2017 and a 55-7 blowout last year as well. So it's pretty good scores, huh, Tay? High school sports is good, or high school football is good, definitely around in Montana. Moving on to Legion baseball news, the Bozeman Bucks won three of their last four games. Going into this weekend, Bucks won two over Great Falls Chargers, 5-1 and 7-6 in a doubleheader earlier this week. Tuesday night, the Bucks defeated Spearfish, 5-0. Bucks did fall to Cheyenne, 4-0 last night. This weekend, though, the Bucks will take on the Brandon Valley. That is tonight at 6 o'clock. They will face Bryant Friday night at 8. All these, I believe, are in Omaha, Nebraska. And they will face Creighton Prep Saturday at 7. Sunday will be seeded tournament games. So good luck to all of the Bozeman Bucks over there. In Belgrade Bandit news, Belgrade crushed Butte this past week in a doubleheader, winning the first contest 10-1, then cruising easily in the second game as well, 13-2. Big tournament coming up this weekend, though. So if you're around the valley and you want to go watch some great baseball action. A bunch of teams are going to be out there. It's out in Three Forks. If you're into baseball, and who doesn't love it, go check out the 5th annual Roy McCauley Memorial Tournament, easier for me to say. Starting tonight at 6 o'clock, Belgrade will take on the Gallatin Valley Outlaws. Friday at 9 a.m., Belgrade will play the Helena Independence. Later that night at 6 o'clock, the Gallatin Valley Outlaws will face the Bitterroot Red Sox. Saturday, Belgrade will go against Bitterroot Red Sox as well, and that game's at 9 a.m. Later that day, the Outlaws have a doubleheader playing Billings Post 4 at 3:45, followed by Gallatin Valley facing off against the Butte Muckers. That is a very dangerous name to say on live radio. It is all wraps up Sunday with Belgrade Bandits facing Billings Post 4 at 11:15, followed by the Bandits taking on Butte Muckers at 1:30. Final game is Gallatin Valley Posse facing the Helena Independence. So once again, that is the big tournament going on starting tonight. That is called the 5th Annual Roy McCauley Memorial Tournament, once again, out in Three Forks. Go support your local teams. The Bandits and the Outlaws have been doing great so far this year after trouncing Butte, like we said earlier. It's a great chance to get out there. The weather should be pretty much like this, I'm pretty sure, all weekend. So it's good baseball weather. It's not too hot. Get out there, eat a couple hot dogs, drink some pop, eat some Cracker Jacks, and go support your local teams if you have a chance. We'll take another quick break right now, come back with a look at Women's World Cup news, plus more info on the verified combine held by the Pitt Training Facility, and we will talk to the girl who is here in the studio with me today. Once again, you can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on your interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
He may be bad at sports, but he loves talking about them. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Mr. Right could be nice for one night, but then he wanna take control. Rather fly so low. The Snow White, she did right, and her life had 7 minutes.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. If you can't tell, the girl, as well as helping out and talking a little bit here and there on the radio, also picked out all my songs. So you can thank her for all of her favorites. She actually had a couple coming up here that are some of my favorites as well. It was kind of surprising in that. But anyhow, I digress. Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Number to get a hold of us is 406-624-6534. KGVM.org on the interwebs, or, of course, 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you every week by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman Sports Authority. So before we get into the verified combine and everything, I wanted to give a quick update in Women's World Cup news. They are playing right now. The group stage of the 2019 FIFA Women's Cup concludes today with the last matches in Groups E and F, United States Women's National Team. USWNT faces Sweden as we speak in a battle of first place in Group F. Once again, they are playing in France. Game started here at 1 o'clock. You can watch it on Fox. Update as of right now in the 29th minute, USA is up 1-0 over Sweden with a 3-minute into the game, Horan, goal for U.S. So U.S. up 1-0 in the 30th minute in that contest there in the first half. So good luck to the U.S. team. U.S. team is 2-0 going into this game in the group stage. And we'll move on no matter what, but this will be the biggest test so far for the U.S. team. USA has a very controversial first game of group play when they destroyed Thailand 13-0. A lot of people were upset at the way the U.S. team celebrated late in the game when the outcome was already for sure known. A couple takes on that. My first one is, if you score, you can celebrate. If you don't like it, then stop them. I've never been a huge fan of celebrations. My favorite player is Barry Sanders, and he always pretended like he's already done it. He'd done it before. Act like you've been there before kind of mentality. Cody Kirk was that same way. For the Cats, some of the better players that we've seen were that way. Lule was that way. But that's not how everybody is. And if you want to celebrate, if you're that kind of player that wants to get out there and celebrate everything you do and every time you score, even if it is 13-0, then it's up to the other team to stop you so you don't have a chance to celebrate. A lot of people were also upset that they ran up the score and it was 13-0. Again, it's 13-0. I have an issue with something else. We'll talk about that in a second, but if you're that upset about it, then stop them. Do something to get them out of their rhythm or out of the game. It's 13-0 for a reason. USA is that good. They're not just going to sit back and dink around. They've got other games coming up where they need to be involved and engaged all the time. We've seen countless times in the past where if you let somebody hang in there, a la the Bobcats against Colorado in 2006, that team could pull a huge upset. Now, it wasn't ever going to be an upset, I don't think, in that game. But still, if you don't like that they scored 13, then hold them to 11 or 8 or somebody less than that. But you can't be mad just because they're good enough they can score every time they have the ball. The one thing that did bother me about it, I guess, is, I don't know the best way to put this. If you're up by that much, I guess, why do you only sub 3 players? They only subbed out 3 players in the whole game. You have an entire bench of ladies that have worked really hard to get to this point. Why not give them a chance to go out there on the pitch and kick it around and have that memory that'll last them forever instead of them just sitting on the bench? You know the game is in hand. It's kind of a way to not run up the score in a way, but they're all professional players and they can score just as easily. But give them the chance to go out there and play. If you're up by that much and you're going to keep scoring and you're going to keep pushing the offense, you might as well have your backups get some playing time. You're two major injuries away from having to use some of those players. And if they've never played in this kind of competition, it might be tough for them when you get into the quarterfinals on some of these tougher teams. So that did disappoint me a little bit for the U.S. team, that they didn't sub in more of their of the women off the bench and let them have a chance to go out there and play a little more. So once again, right now in the 33rd minute now, it is still 1-0 USA over Sweden. This is considered the toughest test so far. If USA wins, they will face France, the home team, basically, in the World Cup in the quarterfinals. So good luck to the U.S. team. Some tough teams coming up for them. They are number 1 in the world, though, so they should be able to handle most of this. We mentioned last week, we had Dane Fletcher on the show talking all about his camp that's coming up and everything else. I just wanted to reiterate that. First off, the Pit is a great place for young kids. He said 6th graders and up can go there. They don't just lift weights and do that kind of stuff. There's a lot of cardio. There's a lot of balance things that he does and everything else, a lot of balance training, getting them to learn their bodies and learn how to use them and not get hurt as often. But one of the big things that's coming out of him opening this and everything is coming up this July 29th. It is at Montana State University. It is the verified high school combine that the Pit is throwing. Once again, it is June 29th. Registration is at 8 a.m. Event starts at 9. There's a bunch of swag you can get. Once again, it's the Pit Verified High School Combine. It will test and help you improve your football training and skills, provide constructive feedback from NFL players, and foster competition. There will be a Q&A with NFL players at 1 o'clock, followed by following the combine with a $1,000 scholarship awarded afterwards. Some of the measurables they'll be doing is they'll do photos, body weight, height, wingspan. They will be testing 145-pound bench press, how many times you can do that, your vertical jump, your broad jump, 40-yard dash, 20-yard shuttle, and the 3-cone drill. Taylor, have you ever done any of those in school?
No.
No. Thank you. Eligibility is current high school athletes or will be in high school in 2019, so basically ages 14 to 18. It's a great way for these kids to get their names out there and some of these measurables that aren't for sure and get some other schools maybe look at them, or even the Bobcats or the Grizzlies looking at them going, wow, I didn't realize that kid from Seiko was that fast, or I didn't realize that linebacker from Helena could bench that much and how strong he was. So I think it's a great thing. It's something that's definitely needed in Montana. So if you are a high school kid, or if you're a parent out there that has one and he's interested in this, make sure you call the Pit and check it out. Once again, thank you, Dane Fletcher, for coming on the show last week. All right, we will take one more quick break and be back with a look at MSU news and a talk with the girl, since we're running out of stuff to talk about anyways. We'll talk a lot to her. Once again, you could reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on the radio dial. Once again, the women's score at the 36 minutes, still 1-0. We'll keep that updated. Travelers Championship right now. Nick is now at +1 through 12. Leader is at -6. And finished for the day. Once again, this is the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Go. He may be fat and bald, but he knows it's sports. You're listening to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show on KGVM.
Tumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets, the traffic starts jumping. With folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5. What a way to make a living. Barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving. They just use your mind and they never give you credit. It's enough to drive you crazy if you let it. 9 to 5. For service and devotion.
Welcome back to the Gallatin Valley Sports Show here on KGVM. Once again, my name is Ian Laird. You can reach us at 406-624-6534, kgvm.org on the interwebs, or 95.9 FM on your radio dial. Once again, the Gallatin Valley Sports Show is brought to you by Spectator Sports Bar and Grill. With countless TVs and specials, catch all the big games, including tonight's NBA draft, starting at 5 o'clock. Located at 19 Ty Lane by the MSU campus, phone number is 587-2156. That is Spectator Sports Bar and Grill, your Bozeman sports authority. So before we talk to the little one sitting next to me, I've been breaking down the different position groups each week leading to the Bobcats opener versus Texas Tech coming up here in about a month and a half. We have gone over running backs, wide receivers, and the offensive line so far. This week, we will flip the field and take a look at the secondary for the Cats, and there is a lot of talent in that backfield. This could be the deepest this group has been since about the Joey Thomas era of the Bobcats. Back in, well, what was that, like 20 years ago, it seems like. First, we'll take a look at the cornerback position. Leading it all off from that position is Greg Filer III, a 6'4", or 6 foot, 170-pound senior from Compton, California. A lot of Compton, California kids in the DBs, by the way. Filer can play corner or safety. He had 40 tackles last year with 2 interceptions. One of those returned for a touchdown against Weber State, one that we thought, oh, this might be us winning, and it ended up not being that way. He also finished the season with 10 pass deflections on the year, the most of any player. By the end of the year, he should be looked at as one of the best DBs slash safeties, secondary players in the Big Sky. I really think this group is going to be good. Tyrell Thomas, a 5 foot, 870-pound junior, also from Compton, California. He had 33 total tackles last year, 6 pass deflections, and 1 forced fumble. Damian Washington is a starter slash backup, 5'10", 176-pound senior from Covina, California. He had 14 total tackles last year with 4 pass breakups. He'll push Thomas, I think, for playing time and the starting position. Washington has been there a long time. Thomas played a lot last year when Washington was hurt. So that should be an interesting battle between the two of them. We also have Tyrae Gibson, a 6 foot, 160-pound, 160-pound sophomore from Lawndale, California. Played as a true freshman last year. He has a twin brother that's also playing on the team. Last year he played in 5 games, had 3 total tackles. He's young, but he's proved that he can play at this level in limited action last year, so he's definitely somebody to look for. So between those 4 defensive backs, 2 of them are going to be the starters, Filer probably for sure. And then I think it really comes down on the other side to Tyrell Thomas or Damian Washington, with Gibson backing up whoever on the other side that doesn't. At the safety position, the Cats are loaded. And it starts with the 2 of the best in the Big Sky. They are Braden Conkle, of course, the 6'2" senior. 200-pound senior from Belgrade, 93 total tackles last season, 2 interceptions, 1 forced fumble. 3 fumble recoveries, and 6 pass breakups. That is a lot of stats. He is a heck of a player. Conklin represents everything in my mind that Montana-born players are. They're tough. He's tough hitting, a good kid. Got some excrement thrown on him at the end of the Grizz game, supposedly, so that wasn't very good. They're Grizzly fans. What do you think of the Grizzlies, Taylor? There you go. Great eyes for the ball. He always seems to be around the ball. If he's not intercepting and he's laying the wood to some poor player that's going over the middle, all of the cliches you can think of pretty much go for Braden Conklin. Last year was his breakout year for the Cats. You can count on him being even better this year, I think. Look for him to be at the top of every Big Sky free safety list by the end of the year. Free/strong safety, they switch back and forth. The best player, I think, on, other than Troy Anderson, but the best player, I think, on the Bobcats next year is going to be Jaquay Allen, the 6'1", 170-pound senior from Virginia Beach, Virginia. In his first year with the Cats, after transferring here from Virginia Tech, Allen had 38 tackles, 5 interceptions, 8 pass breakups, and 10 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery. He also had 7 kick returns for an average of 23 yards a return. Allen is a true NFL talent in the secondary. I haven't seen a player this good, probably since Joey Thomas, that has played on that side of the ball. He is a stud, one of the best ball trackers that I have ever seen, and forces other teams' offense to know where he is at all times. And that is a huge deal when it comes to, it's one of the things that Joey Thomas did so well when he played here, is he cut away half of the field. You're not going to throw it to this half. You're not going to throw it to this defensive or this wide receiver while I'm on him. And it really limits an offense. It almost cuts it in half of what they're going to do when they're passing the ball. And he does that, I think, for them. He can put it up the same numbers, if he can next year, as he did last year, which would be a tough order. 5 interceptions, led the league, and might have led the nation in interceptions. The Cats will be, I think, the best secondary in the country. Now, is that saying they'll be the best defense in the country? No, it's not. But I think they will be probably one of, if not the best secondaries in the country. And I could go on about Allen and all that. He is truly that special. With all that said, though, the Big Sky is known to be very pass-happy conference. And with the Cats playing teams like UC Davis and Southeast Missouri State and the Grizz next year, Cats will need that secondary to play lights out all year. They don't have to play Eastern, which is a big bump for them. They don't have to play Weber, who's not known for a really huge offense, but they're great at defense. They'll just grind you down and wear you out. So I think with having to play UC Davis, that'll be a huge test for the Cats. Southeast Missouri State is at home, and the Grizz, of course, is at home. So 2 of the good passing teams of the 3 are going to be at home. UC Davis might be at home as well. I can't really remember that one. But it'll be interesting to see how they do. If they can compete and have a good secondary like that, this is going to be a very special year, I think, for the Bobcats. So saying all that about the secondary and how I think they're going to be the best, and that's just some fat idiot in Bozeman saying it, but what does the rest of the country see the Cats doing going into next year? So the rankings came out. There's 3 major ones that are out there. Hero Sports has the Cats at 14th in the preseason poll. Street and Smith has the Cats at 16th, and then Stats has, which is like the Hero Sports kind of one, or Stats is the FCS Stats poll, has Montana State, it's like a coach's poll, at 17th. So that puts us right in the middle of the pack, basically where we ended last year. Expect a home win, and then going into the second round and playing a decent team if this holds up. Will it hold up? Who knows? The Cats get away from some of the better teams in the Big Sky. The rankings have other Big Sky teams in it. Eastern Washington, Weber State, and UC Davis are all ahead. They're all in the top 10 of the FCS polls, so just ahead of the Bobcats. Bobcats start off with Texas Tech next year. I don't think they'll drop in the polls after losing that one. I think they will lose that one. Then they've got some decent home games. Western Illinois is on the road, but they play Southeast Missouri State at home. And some of those, so they should have a decent home schedule after that. And then from then on, the Big Sky Conference itself, other than UC Davis, is a pretty easy schedule for the Cats if they can stay healthy and stay with it. So it'll be interesting to see how the Grizzlies come about this year. If Weber State can continue improving, UC Davis is going to be a stud. They have their quarterback back, so we play them. Eastern Washington always seems like they can pull everything out of the hat when they need to. So it should be an interesting year next year. The polls have us right around the middle, and that's pretty much where everyone thought we would be. So that's a look at the Bobcats. Now we will shift gears to Taylor. Taylor, talking about the Bobcats, who is your favorite team?
Bobcats.
And who is your favorite Bobcat player of all time?
Cody Kirk.
Yes, and Mom went to school with Cody Kirk. Cody Kirk, of course, the running back for the Cats, all-world running back that we had. He came out of Frenchtown, Montana. Ashley, just an FYI there. Who is your least favorite team?
Grizzlies.
Very good. So in school, you're done with school. What camp are you going to this week?
VBS.
And what are you doing at VBS?
Arts and crafts and drama and fun stuff.
Very nice. And those only go till noon. That's why you're here with me today. Oh, yes. You can say that, too.
And Camden's one of the counselors.
Yes. One of the counselors is her older brother, Camden, who is not with us today. He was going to come in, but he's actually swimming out at the Bozeman Hot Springs with the rest of the counselors. But he doesn't get to get on the air. And that's pretty cool that you get to do this, right?
Yeah.
So in school, what is your favorite subject? And singing?
Yeah.
What's your least favorite? Math is your least favorite? That makes sense. Reading, do you like to read?
Yeah.
You like to draw quite a bit. You do, yes. You do a lot of drawing at home and everything. What's your favorite thing to draw?
Animals.
Animals?
And Pokemon.
And Pokemon. I didn't know Pokemon was still even a thing. So there you go. This is how little I know about these things.
Yeah.
So you're going into fifth grade next year. Are you excited about it?
Yeah.
Yeah? And what else do you have planned for this summer? What is something you want to do this summer?
Go swimming.
Go swimming?
And go to the new Secret Life of Pets movie.
Oh, you want to go to a movie? All right. Well, that costs us about $100 for a family of four nowadays. We bought a trampoline. Are you excited to get that up and going? What's your favorite thing to do on trampolines? Flips, back flips?
Front flip.
Front flip?
Yeah.
All right. Is there anything else you want to say before I talk about Mom?
Dad's the best.
Oh, thanks.
And yay.
So that'll do it for another week. Before we end the show, I would like to say happy anniversary to my amazing wife, Kristen Laird. Our 16th anniversary is tomorrow, actually. I have no clue why she's still with me, but thank God she is, because I would probably be lying somewhere in a ditch, half dead at this point if it wasn't for my amazing wife. So happy anniversary, Kristen. I love you very much. Everyone out there, enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you next week.
I love you, Mommy. I'm Ian Laird. I talk about sports for no apparent reason.